my territory. There ain't nobody out there gonna mess with me. Cause I'm big and hard and battle scarred and getting long in the tooth. Desperate and hungry and got nothing to lose. Yeah, I'm a black and white dogs to some country, some rock and roll. It said, now, boy, you don't have to quit your howling soul. Staying up all night and chasing lasses by the moon. Laying up all day on the porch playing guitar tunes. Yeah, I'm a lonely woman, and I no longer run with the pack.
Tommy, Lone Wolf, right out here in the heartland, in the bunker, right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern, where the elite meet to drink. Hardly ever order any food out here. Mabel don't cook very well anyhow. All she serves is bologna sandwiches. What the hell? Yeah, what the hell? Beautiful day here in the Midwest. Yeah! The only trouble is, when it gets this nice out, you got to get out and work. Yeah, had to put an old rear view mirror, a side mirror on the old Chevy truck. Somebody busted it off before I got it. Yeah, but luckily my gal found me a brand new one. Even had the motor inside to turn it around, but I don't have that feature on my truck. So she got it for $5. See what happens when you go to flea markets and garage sales? Brand new in the box. That's a $100 mirror. Yeah, that $100 mirror, it's $60 without the motor in it, so how do you like that? Yeah, and I had to work on my old tailgate on the old truck and so forth and so forth. And anyhow, that's it for that's my sad story. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. Address your mail to Tom Metzger or the Insurgent or just a plain box holder. That'll do it. And then go up to resist.com. And you can spend days up there. Your girlfriend, your wife will think you gone forever once you get into that resist.com. And if you want to order something off that website, and I know you will, you send your order to merchandise at resist.com. And then send a copy of it with your payment to old Terrible Tommy here at Box 401. and we'll get it right out to you. That way we don't waste any time that way. Yeah. And, let me announce something. We've been sending out the news and views for a long time directly to your box. Now, we've decided that's a security problem. Especially when Tommy's so damn dumb he sends out a bunch of names on part of the mailing list by accident. Get tired, press the wrong button. So, and what really caused me to get upset about it, there's a guy by the name of Hardy Lloyd. He appears to be a nutcase. You may have heard of him. Well, he got a hold of that partial list and sent out to everybody promoting his situation, which I emailed him and said, well, I don't, for a guy who wants to be a leader, that don't sound to me like a very honorable area to do that. But anyhow, we're going to make sure it doesn't happen again. So from now on, you just simply twice a week, usually on Sunday or Monday and Wednesday along in there. But anyhow, just go up to resist.com. And download the news and views, the new one. Let's face it, I've got lists, I've got hundreds of people on my list, but a good share of them, I don't even think are reading these things. I don't think they give a shit. I don't even think they read their mail. And beyond that, we got all the agents in there, and we got all the smart asses on the right wing trying to see whether we're talking about them. They're like I got time to talk about them. And like that, looky-loos. They sign up to get the NAV for about 2 weeks, and then they want off, and then, you know, that kind of stuff. Waste of time. We're not going to waste time. We're going to deal with the people who deserve to be dealt with. So it's your responsibility to go up and see news and views. Check in a couple of times a week, and you'll see the new ones up there. So you're not going to get it sent to your email account anymore. So just remember that. Just remember that. Well, one of our good buddies sent us it's not new. I guess it's been around a while. Tommy's getting it maybe a little late. This DVD called Missing Links. And it looks like one of the best ones that's been put out so far. Not only on 9/11, but the whole history of Jew treason in this country. They're not traitors to their own religion in Israel, but they're traitors to any nation other than Israel and to their little secret Zionist nation that floats around all over the world that doesn't have a land base. It's just a brain base. And they've infected, I would say, about 90% of the white race has got Jew think. They don't know any better. They don't care. They don't read anything. And even if you tell them something about the Jews, oh, you can't talk about the Jews because Hitler did bad things to the Jews. Bullshit, I can say whatever I want. But anyhow, this is an excellent CD. No, DVD. Goes way back. Shows you where these rats were messing around. Brings you right up to 9/11. And I think it cleared a few things up for me. I got tired of getting all these DVDs from people with all kinds of theories about how it happened and which method they used. These guys just touch on that, but they're not going to sit around and argue about exactly how it happened other than it happened and the Jews were behind it. And I guess they used the Arabs as foils. Some of the Arabs in this thing infiltrated and like that. So anyhow, you can get this by going up to $1DVDproject.com. It's called ProThink Video. $1DVDproject.com. And they're saying that you can take this thing and copy it and give it to everybody. They're not looking to make a lot of money. They just want to get the word out. But, send them at least a couple of bucks to get this thing. And then if you think it's real good, send them some more. So anyhow, I like this. and I'm going to get it out. And get it out to people who don't know the situation. Don't just hand it around to your buddies who know pretty much know the score. Because they're going to say, well, I knew that. I knew the Jews were behind everything. Get it to high school kids. Get it to college kids. Put it in a plain plastic holder and put a label on that's the latest rap music. Whatever the latest rap music is, or that other crap the Negroes sing and the white people buy, and toss it around. Put them in, just carry some of these CDs in your pocket. Go into a library. Go into the 9/11 section, or go into the areas where the kids, high school and college people are researching their papers and their term papers and all that kind of stuff. Slip it right in the book. Yeah, I'm sure they got a whole bunch of books on 9/11 around. Just take one of these DVDs without the case, stick in your pocket. It's all not much more than the thickness of a page of a book. Just slip it right in the book. Let's get it out there, boys. The only problem we got now, they did a damn good job of belling the cat and who did what and what for and how rotten these Jews are. But they didn't tell us what to do about it. I guess we're supposed to figure that out. Maybe the next DVD is what to do about it. And don't tell me to go down and vote. Don't tell me to join the Republican or Democrat Party. Don't tell me to write these goddamn congressmen and senators, because you might as well throw it down the toilet to do that. Looks to me like this is a list that could be used for a lot of things. And enough said on that subject. But if you're one of those guys that bound determined to get hot and heavy, and knowing you'll probably go to prison for 50 years or 100 years or whatever, well, make it worthwhile. Yeah, make it worthwhile. And the other thing is to remember all the time, this is the Christian Zionists and all these Christian churches, and I'm not going to let up on the Christians. And don't give me any trouble about, oh, you're picking on the Christians. You're goddamn right I'm picking on the Christians, because Israel wouldn't be anything without the Christian support. This Christian church is raising money for them, billions. And the Christians putting pressure on congressmen and senators to vote for bills to give them billions and let them steal the secrets and give them money for, give them secrets to the nukes, and now they got, nobody knows how many nukes they got over there, the crazy bastards. Anyhow, that's the story there. And as far as I'm concerned, every Christian that supports Israel is a traitor to the United States. And if you live in Canada, you're a traitor to Canada. If you live in Germany, you're a traitor to Germany, or whatever country you're in, if you're a Christian or anybody else that supports Israel, you're a traitor. You're a traitor to your country, and you should be tried and hung by the neck until dead, and I don't care who you are. Well, here's another one. Netflix. You know, you can get a lot of good movies, a lot of foreign movies off there, pretty cheap. And, you know, you can get, a couple every few days, or you can get more than that. But even for a small amount of money per month, you can get a lot of movies. Well, I just happened to find one that I found really good. Not a movie, it's a series. Now, this was on Showtime, but I can't afford HBO and Showtime and that stuff, or I'm not going to afford it, because it's just too much money that I could be spending somewhere else. But now you can go up to Netflix and get a whole series that's been on TV. Maybe it's been on TV for 6 months or a year, you get the whole thing. They'll put four or five shows on one DVD. Well, there's one called The Brotherhood. It's set in a blue-collar Irish neighborhood in Providence, Rhode Island. Showtime's edgy serial drama follows the sanctimonious politico Tommy Caffey, who's played by Jason Clarke, and his mobbed-up brother, Michael. Hey, I like Michael. Jason Isaacs is his name. Whoops. When Michael returns home, looking to take over the local syndicate, Tommy's task of protecting the community becomes tricky, to say the least. The show's supporting cast includes Annabeth Gish. Oh, well, we don't need that. But anyhow, there's I think, 4 or 5 shows on each one of DVDs. It takes you a couple of nights to watch all these shows. So anyhow, but there's a lot of good stuff on there. And it shows no-nonsense Irish mob action. And Tommy recommends it. Especially the parts where it shows you how they get even with informants and turncoats and people who cheat the group, things like that. And, yeah, they had some pretty good ideas. Now, you should know by now, we've got the Race and Reason television production up and at 'em. We're doing about 2, maybe 4 shows a month. And I want all you guys out there sitting on your ass to get go to your local cable company and talk to the insurgent or talk to the public access people. Just go on in there and or even call them and say, I want to talk to your public access coordinator, and or ask them first, do you have public access? Look on your cable or in your town, see whether they have a public access channel, and then tell them you got a show ready to go, you want to put it on. And they'll give you a paper to fill out. You'll be the local producer in charge of taking it down there, putting it on. All you have to do is tell us to send you shows, what format they want. We'll send them to you. The only thing it costs you is, once they're done with them, send them back. It just costs you the postage of sending them back to us. And man, if you can't do that, and you're looking to change things in this country, I don't know what the hell you're going to do, because it's a simple thing. It's a very simple thing. If you got any questions, email me, and I'll email you back and tell you more. But that's about all you need to know. Just ask for the public access coordinator. I want to put a show on. Give me your requirements. They'll hand you the paper. Go home and read them, and there you go. At one time, Dr. Herbert Poinsett was putting them on. He asked me for permission to use the Race and Reason logo. And I told him, fine, the more the merrier. He did a lot of shows. And we've done, well, since 1983, hundreds of shows. And they're still all available. And what's so sad about it, these shows should have been on the cables in cities everywhere around the country. And all those big talking so-called right-wingers or whatever wouldn't get off their ass and do it. We're in a few dozen cities at most, and I don't know, I think Herbert Poinsett's show was maybe in 2 or 3. Pretty sad, huh, for people who want white revolution, white power, get all those guys that are hanging out at these little circle jerk rallies, get off their ass and do something positive, you might get someplace. And that's coming from old terrible Tommy. I'm taking you to the woodshed. Now, we've got a new show, Wolf Europe. He's just getting started. This will be his second show coming up. Probably tomorrow I'll put it on. And he's really reaching out there to do a good job, tell us all about what's going on over in Belarus. It's an interesting information. So when we run that show, I want you to tell me what you think. And don't jump all over him just because he's just now getting started, because everybody has to start someplace, right? Here's another movie I picked up at a garage sale, Soldier of Orange. And it's in, it's got subtitles. Comes from the Burbank Combat classic series. I don't know much about that. Rutger Hauer is in it. Soldier of Orange, and it's about Rutger Hauer stars as a young university aristocrat who was forced to assist the resistance when the Germans invade his homeland, Holland. Not a fighter by nature, Hauer's introduction into the dangerous world of espionage comes at the expense of his family and friends in a journey filled with betrayal, imprisonment, and murder. From the announcement by England declaring war on Germany until the liberation, Hauer and his 5 friends find themselves facing the horrors of war in a country under siege. Hauer is a soldier of the House of Orange as he fights to eliminate the German control in this quick-paced suspense saga based on the autobiographical novel by Eric Hasselhoff. Well, anyhow, it always did give me a bad taste in my mouth that the Low Countries wanted to be neutral, and Germany didn't give them a chance to be neutral. They just come on in there. I guess they figured strategically that once England had declared war on Germany, Germany's going to get control of all that land, or maybe England would. But still, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth because I'm a white racist. I'm not a nationalist. And for the Germans to come in there, and they were bombing these Dutch people and Belgian and those people, and then these people that were standing up for their country were picked up and tortured, and really bad stuff happened to them. So all you guys that want to run around Seagal this and Seagal that, you got to understand that a good share of the people that were killed, tortured, everything else, were white people. And I don't think there's much of an explanation for that, because most of those people were not resisting anything. They were just trying to live. So I think we need a little revision, that National Socialism got off the track back there somewhere. Now, Guerrilla Radio Man has found a book that he thinks is an excellent book for you to have. And what he's done is he's photocopied it, and I've taken it to the printer, and we've printed it up, large print, so it's easy to read. And we're not going to put a cover on or anything, because that gets into too much more expense. You can put them in a loose leaf notebook and make yourself up a book with it. But you send us a $20 donation and we'll get it out to you. It's an excellent, excellent book, endorsed by Guerrilla Radio Man. It's something you should study, so you know what to do as the crap gets worse in this country, because every day it's coming out that things are getting worse for us. Not the general public so much, other than being broke and maybe not having enough food someday, but, I mean, they're going to come hunting for us kind of people. You know that. If you've been anything in this struggle, you know that they're not going to let us, as time goes on, run around free and spreading the gospel. Let's put it that way. So anyhow, send $20 donation. I'll get this booklet out to you. But you're going to have to put it in a loose leaf notebook. It's 8.5 by 11 pages front and back. You must have to get a 3-ring binder and put it in there. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Now let's get to Guerrilla Radio Man. Now, if you're keeping numbers on these shows for Ghost Wolf, this will be tape 9, show 9, program 17. In the beginning, we got his numbering system was a little bit off here, but we're picking up now. So if you want to keep track, it is program 17.
Calling all ghost wolves. Calling all lone wolves. Calling all underground white insurgents. Ghost Wolf Radio calling. Ghost Wolf Radio calling. This is Ghost Wolf, white lone wolf, white working class, white werewolf, white gorilla radio calling. Ghost Wolf Radio is brought to you by the Insurgency Radio Network, all created by Tom Metzger, who can be reached at tm_Metzger@yahoo.com. You can write him at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. You can call the Aryan Update Line at 574-267-5036. Calling all ghost wolves. Men of action. And women, if you're out there. Skjoldborg, which is Old Norwegian for shield wall. So Viking tactic, when they fought on the plains, they would interlock their shields, just like a lot of armies of antiquity did. It was a defensive tactic. The best defense is a good offense. Skjaldborg. S-K-J. Remember, the J makes a Y sound in Germanic languages. S-K-J-A-L-D-B-O-R-G. Skjaldborg. In defense of our race, the best defense is a good offense. And more than anything right now, we need men to seize the offense. Maybe you don't agree. Maybe you don't want to. Maybe you only want to be entertained. I don't know. Only you can answer that question. I was reading this book lately called The Terrorist. And it's talking about the, basically talking about the leaders, the weapons, the tactics. Written by Christopher Dobson, like 1986, I think. It says, George Washington was a terrorist. To describe a man as a terrorist is a term of honor. So spoke one of the Bader-Meinhof defendants after his arrest in West Germany. The thinking behind the statement is that the acts of violence are not criminal when carried out in opposition to the force used by a state that is itself deemed to be criminal by the terrorist concerned. The U.S. German Red Army faction believed that the war in Vietnam was an unjust one. It's amazing how these German terrorists, these leftist German terrorists, and I know we want to lean more towards the left, but here they are, I mean, these West German nationals fucking shit up in Germany because they're pissed off about Vietnam. And I can understand that in American universities, and this whole student thing that came out of the 60s of this radical left, unite with the third world, these middle-class white people, not only in the United States, but everywhere, are so guilty about the things that they have that they want to appease that guilt by trying to lift up the third world. The third world is not in the shape they're in because of white exploitation. It's not. If these people were equal to us in their ability to sustain and build advanced civilization, there'd be great edifices all over the Middle East and Africa and other parts. So I have a solution. Complete geographical and cultural separation. And that those whites that don't want to go along with the program can either go live in Mudsville or they can fall by the wayside. You know, I mean, like Y. Collinberg said years ago, we want our sheep back. Take the case of Hans Joachim Klein, born in 1947. He became involved with the Red Army faction in West Germany by way of friends with whom he lived in a Frankfurt commune. This commune was connected with a revolutionary publishing enterprise called Red Star. There he met Klaus Croissant, I think is how you pronounce that. Looks French. Who sympathized with the Bader-Meinhof gang and became one of their defense lawyers. Croissant later fled to France to escape charges of helping the terrorists plan operations even while they were in prison. He was extradited in hurried circumstances by France and at the time of this writing is awaiting trial. I guess that's 1986. In Frankfurt, Klein met Carlos. They talked about Carlos in an early chapter. Carlos was an upper middle class guy. I believe he's born somewhere in Latin America somewhere, and he wanted to be the living embodiment of Che Guevara, who gets a whole lot of praise. But Che Guevara may have been an inspirational writer when it comes to revolutionary writings and stuff like that, but he was a failed tactician. I mean, he failed a lot in the field, in the act of subversion. Gets way too much credit. But in Frankfurt, Klein met Carlos, and as one of Carlos's men, he took part in the raid on the OPEC conference in Vienna. He was shot in the stomach during the raid, and although he was badly wounded, the gang took him with them to Libya, where he received treatment from a German doctor before disappearing into the terrorist underworld. Man, if we could only have a white racist underworld. And don't even think about contacting Elohim City or whatever the hell that's called. That's filled with rats. You can't go to Nordic Fest. Sorry, Ron Edwards. I mean, I know you're going to put that on Memorial Day
weekend this year.
There's going to be rats there, feds, people recording license plate numbers. I'm telling you right now, when I read this stuff about leftist terrorists, I just turn green with envy. And these white people, these fanatical, bloodthirsty white terrorists, doing what they do for MUDs. I appreciate them doing what they do for anti-corporations. You know, they're taking a stand against the corporations. But it just amazes me how we cannot get any fanatics to our banner, the survival of the white race. But yet white people will fight fanatically for everything else under the sun. They'll fight fanatically to save the fucking seals or the whales and the polar bears. I'm telling you right now, if it's us or the polar bears, I don't give a fuck about the polar bears. I'm sorry. And if that hurts your sensibilities, well, I'm not here to win a popularity contest. It just pisses me off. And I know, you know, we need to recruit out of the left, but I wonder, why are they so fanatical? It's got to be because of guilt. And note I wrote here says that the radical left is from the upper middle class, and as in the Bader Meinhof, they condemned the comfortable and prosperous living that they had in West Germany. What the fuck are you going to condemn that for? I'm telling you, I would not doubt it one bit if there was some kind of subliminal programming going on in TV and music that you can buy at any store. I mean, you know, you buy an artist like, let's say, I don't know, fucking Led Zeppelin. I mean, that's pretty mainstream hard rock. You know, maybe the band's not aware of the fact that there could be a sub-audio track of something in the background there that your natural ears can't hear. And I know that sounds like, you know, someone talking about fucking aliens and this and that, but the technology's out there, and there's boo-coo documentation about the effects of subliminal programming. And the people who developed it knew what they were talking about, because I guess the prefrontal cortex of the brain decodes things that you don't pick up consciously or something like that. I mean, don't say that this is hocus-pocus shit, because it does exist and it is out there. And the system, by all means, has the money and the resources to put this stuff into play. I wrote here that says members of the Bader Meinhof group, a lot of them had pacifist upbringing. Like, they were brought up by pacifist Christians and Protestants. But even they reached a point where they felt that talking and writing were useless and that violence was the only option. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, I may not agree with their worldview, but I think for us to continue writing, you know, I mean, I know this sounds bad, but I'm not interested in reading anyone's writing anymore. If I feel like reading someone's writing, I may read something on pyramidprophecy.net or something like that. Or maybe I'll go to resist.com and read the writings of David Lane or June. Anything other than that, I mean, I don't want to read any more books about race. I really don't. And if you're new to the game and you feel like you need to read more to know what you're talking about, well, that's between you and your inner soul, I guess. It's a waste of time for me to read anything about race. I'm not saying I know it all. I'm saying I know enough to know what the problem is. The blinders have been taken off of my eyes for like 8 to 9 years now, so I'm able to look through bullshit I see on TV and see what I suspect would be the end game of a certain thing. You know, all these bank bailouts and this and that. I don't have the expertise to articulate what that is, but I know that it is power being consolidated into fewer and fewer hands. I do know that. So, coming back to Hans Joachim Klein, In early 1977, he sent a remarkable letter with a set of his fingerprints to prove the letter's authenticity and a checkmate pistol and ammunition to the West German magazine Der Spiegel. What a fucking Jew rag that is. Klein declared that thinking about the Vienna affair during the 2 months he spent recovering from his wounds had brought him to the decision to give up terrorism. His letter told of his disillusion. What I heard in a month about the way in which revolutionary violence would bring about a fairer and more humane world made me sick. This was a cause for which I would have gone into the streets. But my own experiences and the plans I heard about at that time gave me food for thought. That was the most important thing that happened to me. I haven't changed from Saul to Paul, but from Saul, I have changed back to the person, to a person with sensible political thinking and behavior. For this, I had to pay a hell of a price. Well, that's because he fought for an abstract idea, which is, you know, reading on these Bader Meinhof fucking group, the Red Army faction, I don't even think they knew what they were fighting for. And there was a guy in there, a psychiatrist, said that he believed that he attributed a lot of it. I mean, it's just a weird phenomenon that the West Germans couldn't get a handle on why, you know, after the next generation after supposedly the horrors of Hitler and all that, why the German youth would be seduced by this. And, you know, it's got to be because of guilt. And it's got to be because maybe the person will spare in their own lives. You know? But we're not trying to defend an abstract idea. We are trying to defend the survival of our race. And picture this. We are talking about a real world possibility of the white race not being on this planet in just a few generations. Real world possibility. These guys, if their leftist claims weren't, you know, realized, they'll still be around. You know, they'll still live. They'll still have an existence. What we're talking about, white Pan-Aryan, white separatist ghost wolves, what we're talking about is the complete extinction of our race. I mean, that's a far different world from what these guys were fighting for. They weren't fighting for nothing. They were a bunch of fucking loonies who didn't know how to handle their own personal lives or something. Now, I don't want to say I'm coming down on the Reds or anything like that, or the leftists or whatever, but, you know, if we can recruit from the left, I don't see a lot of people coming from the left, because I believe that they're just so programmed to not even give thoughts of racial survival. And I think maybe they're on the left because of racial guilt to begin with. So, but then again, we don't want the masses from the left, do we? We just want a few hardcore individuals. Okay. Going on, it says, he took naturally to the rather comfortable life of the West German terrorist. Let me backtrack here. Speaking about Andreas Bader, became a terrorist because he was dark, handsome, sexy, and braggadocio. Dark and handsome. I wonder if he was a Jew. Or maybe had some Turkish blood in him. By the time he was 25, he had nothing. He'd done nothing but fail at school and make a vague shot at being a potter. Going down further, it says, although Andreas Bader learned to parrot the correct slogans, there is little to show that he had any real political conviction, certainly before he took up with Enselin, which was a female. I think her name was Gudrun. Gudrun Enselin was a lady, I guess, he was shacked up with or something. He took up with Enselin. His dislike for the consumer society and its horrors was based on the fact that this spoiled boy had no money. Well, I mean, they're anti-consumerism, that's great. No money to finance his expensive consumer taste. He took naturally to the rather comfortable life of the West German terrorists. There have always been enough well-heeled sympathizers who would permit themselves the luxury of lending apartments and providing money for those wanting to overthrow a society in which their financial angels flourished. In West Germany, students, teachers, and professional people had all given to help the terrorists. Sheltering a Red Army man on the run is almost as good as setting up your own operation, said one student. Providing refuge for terrorists on the run had been described as both a patriotic duty and a protest against the system. On several occasions, Bader Meinhof members, even those who are known to have murdered and maimed people, have received protection from German clergymen and priests. Are you fucking kidding me? I mean, I'm just flabbergasted by this shit. Here we are, trying to work, not spread flyers around anymore. We don't want to do that no more. Because it hasn't gotten us anywhere. You know? It's like filling a 5-gallon bucket of water with a bunch of holes in the bottom and just wondering why the bucket won't fill. That's how fruitless it is for us to keep up with the same old shit. What I'm proposing is new tactics. I'm not saying I'm the originator of them, but go solo. Don't hook up with no groups and just go to work. You see something happen in the news and you think it could quite possibly be a ghost wolf in another part of the country, well, you respond in kind with your own action. And like I said on a few tapes ago, five men can get this country in an uproar. But these freaking guys who really didn't have any direction on what they wanted to do, they're just pissed off about their own lives, and I think so that's why they took the terrorism, had all this fucking support from clergy, from priests, from professors. But yet we're anathema. We're looking out for the survival of our race, but yet we're anathema to white clergymen and white priests. I mean, look at the white clergymen that are out there, like Michael Flager. Man, how I would love for something to happen to this guy. I bet he feels safe in that nice black neighborhood in that St. Sabina Catholic Church on the south side of Chicago. Man, it would be awesome if something happened to him. I'm not telling you guys to go out there and do it, and I'm not going to do it. And I'm not telling Tom Metzger to go out there and do it, but I would just love to turn on CNN one day and just hear about Michael Flager meeting a terrible end. It's amazing. It just blows me away that these, I don't know, I mean, I don't want to call them half-wits. I mean, I guess they did have the anti-consumerism on straight, but that they could get this kind of support just blows me away, and we can't. Amazing. See, that's why you as a ghost wolf, man, you have just phenomenal power. You shut up about your race. I mean, are you afraid of maybe because you're not doing it ostensibly in the name of the survival of the white race that maybe you'll forget who you are? I don't know. It hasn't happened to me yet. Or maybe I don't qualify for the simple fact that I do these shows. And I'm always reminding myself of who I am and what I'm about. But, you know, when I'm planting seeds of deception or anything like that, when I am living out the axiom, all warfare is based on deception, I'm always thinking of the race. You don't network in the name of race anymore. You want to meet people in the criminal underground and you cross paths with them, don't let them know at all about your race or your racial beliefs. And use them for things. You know? And they shouldn't really know your true identity or where you actually live. An even more remarkable facet of German terrorism is the number of women, most of them young and attractive, who had taken operations. No less than half of 20 of the 28 most wanted urban guerrillas on the police list in West Germany are females. They were obviously much more than just terrorists, Molls and providers of safe houses. I don't know what a Moll is. M-O-L-L-S. Just a working class guy. I don't have an extensive vocabulary. So if you guys know what a Moll is, well, great. Why this should be so has puzzled the authorities at the point that in 1977, the West German government set up a committee to try to discover the reasons. Attention was again drawn to women terrorists during the Red Army faction's offensive in the summer of 77, when they raided the opulent home of Jürgen Ponto, one of the country's most influential bankers, and killed him. It was his 26-year-old goddaughter who got the killers admitted to his well-defended home. "It's me," Susan said. Susan Albrecht, carrying with her a bunch of roses to give her godfather. The door was open. There was a struggle. Possibly the intention was kidnapping. And Ponto was shot dead. Suzanne, age 26, had been a student at Hamburg University before dropping out to join squatters groups
graduating to terrorism, becoming instrumental in bringing about the murder of the man who loved her like a daughter. I mean, that just blows me away. That the left, a worldview that has nothing to do with white survival can garner up that kind of apathy for someone who loved you like a daughter. I mean, I'm blown away by this shit. I mean, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that our race somehow is being programmed to commit suicide. And you look through all throughout history, there's always been somebody that stood in the gap to defend the tribe, the clan, the ethnicity of the white race. I mean, Jan Sobieski, the Polish general, was able to put together a motley crew of soldiers that were Prussian, that were German, Polish, French, you know, a hodgepodge army there to take them up against the Turks, who outnumbered them 10 to 1. 5 to 1, 10 to 1, something like that, but the Turks outnumbered them pretty good. I mean, you can't even get that today. We can't even get a real pan-Aryanism going on today. We got German skinheads battling Polish skinheads. We got racially white-minded people in Australia not liking the white Italians who immigrated there. Bullshit. Fucking stupidity. I mean, I ask you, is our race being brainwashed to slit its own fucking throat? I'm starting to think it has. It makes me want to pull my fucking hair out. I don't know, Tommy thinks I'm wired too tight. But God damn it, I mean, I'm just amazed by this shit. You know, I hear about, the days that I'm home, I hear about fucking 30 sirens go by my house. Cops or fire engines. You never heard that shit 30 years ago when Berlin was all white. Well, who says I'm in Berlin? Anyways, another notorious woman terrorist who led a desperate prison breakout was Inga Viet, a 33-year-old former children's nurse who, like Suzanne, comes from Hamburg. I've been to Hamburg. Beautiful town. Two other female terrorists were in the group that escaped. Gabriela Rolnick, a sociologist and member of the well-to-do family from Dortmund, and Julianne Glambeck, a 25-year-old student of philology from Munich, who was on the list of 15 people suspected of complicity in the murder of Hans Martin Schleyer, S-C-H-L-E-Y-E-R, Schleyer, Jesus Christ. Glambeck's other claim to fame is that she is known among her male comrades as the trophy for the Erotic Challenge Cup, whatever that is. Yet another group of female terrorists is known as the Croissant Group, because according to the authorities, they were mainly recruited through the law office in Stuttgart run by Klaus Croissant. Obviously, French, or German guy with a French name. Before he fled to France, he became a lawyer's collective and devoted most of his energy to looking after their interests. Susan Albrecht was one of those who worked in his office. Two other women are known members of the same group and thought to be connected with the Ponto affair. Angelica Speichel, 25, who married one of the lawyers from Croissant's practice, and Silke Meyer-Witt, the intelligence officer for the group. Just how these young women, most of them well brought up in decent families, became involved with terrorism remains a puzzle to West German authorities. Well, I'm puzzled by the fact that they would fight so ferociously for something that doesn't even has nothing to do with their own personal survival. And here we are, you know, labeled with every name of a program you can think of. I said a number of times that we're a step above a pedophile. Maybe not. Maybe we're just as low as the pedophile in the eyes of most white people. And if that's so, why the fuck would you waste your time trying to win their hearts and minds? Okay? You know what? Winning the masses' hearts and minds is fine if they are a rural society, if they are, you know, a society of nothing but country bumpkins, you know, just not well-educated, just working-class, hard-working people whose minds aren't seduced by the 50 million watt antennas that spring up over the cities. You know, I mean, they were able to go into Vietnam and other parts of the world, the third world, and win their hearts and minds because a lot of these people weren't corrupted by TV. Almost the entire white race is corrupted by TV. I asked Tom Metzger on a show that I co-host with him not too long ago what he thought of the white population, what percentage of it is racially aware and, you know, reads racial books and stuff like that. He said, what do you think, Tom? You think it's 5%? No, I think it's less than that, he said. And I think he's right. I'm not here to paint a gloom and doom picture. It's not gloom and doom. Like the guy that started World War One, you know, Princip, whatever his name was, who shot Ferdinand, that got World War One started. So one man can do some things. You know? One man can't have an impact. Let's say you've got groups of men spread out all throughout the white diaspora doing things. They don't know each other. They've never met each other. They've never communicated with each other. The minute they went ghost wolf, they cleaned their hard drives. They sterilized their home. They sterilized their workplace. You can't find anything dealing with race attributed to them anywhere in their personal possessions. I'm telling you right now, guys, if you guys are seriously considering a life of a ghost wolf, take your extensive white racial library and Tom Metzger didn't think it was a good idea one time. I never collect books, okay? Like when I used to buy a bunch of books from National Vanguard. When I was done reading the books, if I couldn't find someone to give the books to, I would drop them in the library book drop, you know? And Tom's like, well, you shouldn't do that because the people who go through that, the friends of the library, they're a bunch of faggot-ass liberals. But he didn't say that. That's my emphasis there. He said that you shouldn't do that because they're just going to wind up chucking the book. And, you know, he's probably right. What I did a couple times before, I went into the Yellow Pages, right? And I would just look for names, right? And when I ran across a name like Pelashevsky or something like that, I'm like, there's no way that that's a fucking spick or a nigger or a fucking shigger, you know? A yellow nigger, right? Tiger Woods. Anyways, I sent it to him in the mail. I put a fictitious address. I left a little note in the book saying, dear fellow citizen, the return address on this, or you do not know me, the return address on the envelope that the book came in is fictitious. I cannot be contacted. I picked your name out of the Yellow Pages because I believe that this books like this are suppressed. And it's time that we... I mean, you think about it. There you are, you're a regular guy. You get this package in the mail. And with a note in it from a guy says, you don't know me. I'm not looking to try to get to know you. I picked your name out of the Yellow Pages. This book is being suppressed by the system. And I mean, I wrote little notes like the Jews control what we read in this country. They control what's on your TV. The white race is being destroyed. I hope that this book will be the start of your quest for knowledge and what kind of knowledge is being suppressed. Stuff like that. I mean, yeah, it cost me a few bucks, but I was working at the time. You know, it cost me about the same amount of money that I would use to buy a 12-pack of beer if I drank. So, amazing. Fucking amazing, the kind of support that we don't have. And that's what I'm telling you guys. We don't want to try to win anyone's respect. People think we're anathema, and maybe there are a bunch of white people out there who, you know, have quiet support for us. But I'm telling you right now, man, if you want to put a dent into the baby-making ability of non-whites on North American soil or anywhere else for you listeners out there, you have to do what you can to subvert the system. I keep telling you guys, you have power. It's called disruptive power. You need to exercise your disruptive power. Going on, it says, another factor to be considered is that the post-war generation of German students seemed obsessed by killing and death. How much such feelings are promoted, how much feelings are prompted by memories of Hitler, of the Hitler period, and the horrors of the Nazi system of which their parents were a part, is a question that needs much more detailed investigation than is possible in this book. Even so, it is worth observing that there is something unnatural about the pleasure taken in German universities at the news of the murders and kidnappings of 1977. After the kidnapping of Dr. Schleyer, wall writings at Heidelberg proclaimed, "It is possible, or it is impossible to hide our joy." What the fuck is happening to our race? I mean, just something specific in German blood that, you know, they have a bloodthirstiness even directed against themselves? It is impossible to hide our joy. The pleasure expressed in university pamphlets issued by some groups on the fringe of left-wing politics gave the impression that these groups had a hatred for the very concept of parliamentary democracy as well as its bourgeoisie, representatives, and institutions. Well, I feel the same way about parliamentary democracy and the bourgeoisie and the oligarchs. I absolutely feel the same way. But I just started that chapter. But I'm just blown away by some of this stuff. I really am. I mean, how our race can be so fanatical, and yet at the same time, we run across the opposition that's so fanatical against what we're trying to preach. I was a quiet observer at a demonstration one time at St. Xavier College on Chicago's South Side. The area surrounding this college was like one of the last white neighborhoods on the South Side. But anyways, I looked at the Reds and the anarchists that were protesting Art Jones and his Nazis. You know, the Reds and the anarchists dressed in black with the black bandanas around their face. You know, they're flipping the Nazis off, and they're, you know, the NSM or whoever was over there, flipping them off and doing obscene gestures, and they had at least 500 people. And Art Jones' little group had 10. For the most part, Art Jones' group wasn't doing any flipping of the bird. You know, there was a point where some Reds came across the street. The Chicago police was on hand there to keep the peace. And there were a couple of Reds who just wanted to fight real bad, and the cops took them down hard to the pavement. It's kind of cool to watch. I was laughing. But, you know, and Art Jones had the bullhorn and 10 guys, and one guy held a banner that says, "Yes, we can prevent war with Iran." And others signed. They were protesting Elie Wiesel, the guy who, the Jewish, supposed Jewish concentration camp survivor. He was there at the school speaking about something, and they were protesting him. You know what? I told Metzger about that. He's like, you know, they shouldn't do that because all they do is give the guy more publicity. He's absolutely right. Absolutely right. But it was really pathetic. It was pathetic to see a sea of white people, and I'm sure there were Jews involved, you know, that white skin that were part of that group. Just, I mean, just a virulent hatred that they had for those white men who were in support of the white race. A few of the guys over there had swastika armbands, they had khaki pants, tan khaki pants, black shirts, and Nazi swastikas. Go to find out later on that night, I found out that some Red worked its way into the neighborhood in back of the street. The Nazis were on the south side of 103rd Street, and the Reds were on the north side. And the Nazis, I guess, parked their van on the south side of 103rd Street, like in the neighborhood there. And I guess when they were done with their demonstration, they went to the van and found their tires slashed. So, you know, what are you going to do? You know, if you want to ride into a demonstration where there's a lot of opposition, it accomplished nothing. I'm wondering about, you know, I've actually met Art Jones, and I said like before, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but I just don't understand. And I talked to this guy on a couple occasions. You know, he was around when they had the Cicero NSM unit, or not the National Soldiers, wouldn't NSM, I don't know what it was called. I guess Matt Cale maybe started the unit there, and Art Jones was around as one of the neo-Nazis during the 70s, and he said he took part in exposing Frank Collin for being a Jew and a porno guy. And I didn't ask the guy. I felt like maybe I should show the guy some respect. He's been in the racial game a lot longer than me, and I definitely won't align myself with any of his activities because I think it's just pouring water into a 5-bucket-gallon bucket with holes in it. That's all that shit does. And I wanted to ask him, why do you persist on doing this? Why do you persist on it? And I actually had a chance to talk with him along with some other racially minded people. Wasn't at a meeting, but just, you know, I asked him some things and this and that. And, you know, when I was talking with one guy, I'm like, about how white people need to fucking learn how to defend themselves and this and that. And this Art Jones guy, oh, that's kind of scary talk there. Scary talk. Yeah, you know, when you're talking about self-defense stuff and guns and knives, I'm like, listen, I think it'd behoove us to have the type of training to learn how to defend against a knife attack, to know what to do if a gun is put to your head, you know? But he's like, well, that stuff just, you know, just makes me nervous. And that's my last contact with the Fuhrer of Chicago, Art Jones. But he wasted his whole life on the same tactics. And on the tape 8, I read about that story about how, you know, how to control people, how you can be a doctor, a lawyer, you can have all kinds of, all kinds of education, but still be uneducated. That may apply to Mr. Jones, to keep up with the same tactics, to go on to a talk show and just raise hell with some black guy calling his women hoes and whores and this and that, and the black guy was saying some anti-system things that honestly white people could agree with, but Art didn't want to acknowledge the fact that maybe, oh, I don't want to be seen like I'm agreeing with this black guy. Hey, if truth is spoken, then acknowledge it. It doesn't make you less of a man. But for him to just start insulting their women, throwing the whole stage into chaos, that did absolutely nothing for our race but made us look like a bunch of dumbass fucking hicks. I don't hate Art Jones. I got to give the man respect. I feel compelled to give him respect because he's in this game for a long time, since the late 60s, I guess. But, you know what? On the same token, to continue on with the same tactics. And from what I understand, he tries to run for political offices every 4 years. Not the mayor of Chicago, but just other things. You know, aldermen and stuff like that. And come on, guys, do you really think you can infiltrate the system and change it from within? Do you really think that? Do I have to use the analogy of the dilapidated vermin in the house that you're just going to go in there, just rip up the carpet, put new carpeting in, and you're good to go? That's exactly what that is. It's a fruitless endeavor. We need new tactics for a new day. And it can start out with the individual who can't be infiltrated, who can't be spied upon because the system don't know who he is. He's not spouting off racist things in a chat room. Chat rooms don't have anonymity. They can find out who you are. What about the serial killer in St. Louis? The hell was his name? He's a black guy. He's killing black prostitutes. And, there was a little lull in the killings there. And the cops, to try to generate this guy to get him to come out and expose himself a little bit, did like an editorial piece 1 year after the murder of someone. Maury, that was his name. Maury. M-A-U-R-Y, his first name. I don't remember his last name was. But the black serial killer sent a letter to the cop, and he said, yeah, nice sob piece about so-and-so girl. I don't remember the girl's name. And he used a map from Expedia.com to pinpoint the location of another body. But this Maori guy, the black serial killer, thought by cutting off the legends on the bottom and just trimming all the way around the map, he was good to go. He made the map anonymous. Well, he didn't. Because the feds, through the internet provider or whatever, was able to contact Expedia.com and access their records when the last time that exact map was was pulled up and for what address it went to, what IPO it was traced to. Nothing's anonymous anymore. If you leave any kind of, if you have to use electronic or paper trails, you're not being anonymous. Not unless you have an alter identity that can't be traced back to your real identity. And that's hard to come by these days. You know, they got driver's license now that has the picture, your picture embedded into the driver's license. It's not like you can peel away the laminate and take the picture out and put a new one in there. They're upgrading everything. So in order for us to get around it, we stay by ourselves. If you already have a group of guys that's hardcore and you're doing some things, well, you have the world by the fucking balls, and all you got to do is act. And all you got to do is make sure that you all trust each other. And the way that you all trust each other is for you guys to become bonded by blood. I don't need to elaborate. Well, I might as well, because it's in my highly revolutionary Freedom in the Realm of Madness, Eric Blackburn, to build his cell. Went up to the first guy who's going to build his cell and said, listen, we're going drinking tonight, man. Don't make no plans. All right, cool. Wear casual clothes, this and that. You know, wear clothes that you don't really care for. So what's going on? It's nothing, man. A little surprise, man. We're having a great time. All right, whatever. So they hook up. They went to a disclosed location and found Jose Ramirez, illegal alien border jumper, mojado, parásito, bound and gagged to a chair in an abandoned house. And Eric said to John O'Hara, I don't know, I haven't thought of John's name yet. Let's call him John. Eric says, you have to kill this man. You have to slit his throat. And John says, what are you talking about? He says, listen, I am not asking you to do anything that I am not willing to do. Took him into another room when Jose's brother, Roberto, was tied to a chair and bound and gagged in another room. Frank took out his lock back blade and slit the man's throat. John was shocked. He was aghast with horror. He said, listen, I've known you for a long time. You know I won't fuck you over. We believe in the same things, but we cannot go about doing the same tactics anymore. We have to try something new. We have to evolve, John. We have to fucking evolve. The system has evolved. We need to evolve. Incidentally, here, stepping out of the book that I was talking about, one of the plots. Look at Tom Metzger. He's evolved. Big time. I remember purchasing videos from White Aryan Resistance, you know, when he was out in Fallbrook, and had him holding meetings back in like 83, 84, you know. And then you look at something that he does now, and he does some interview now, and it's like night and day. Tom Metzger has changed tremendously in the last 25 years of racial activity. You know, not sold out. He's just refined what works and what doesn't work. You know, he's evolved. That's why he's not in a fucking prison cell. Because he's evolved. That's why he'll never be in a prison cell unless the system fabricates some bullshit against him and others, maybe myself included. That's what they would have to resort to. Because he does everything within the bounds of the law, but yet gets his message out there. Evolution. If you don't evolve, you die. White organizations, you know, you may experience a spurt in recruitment because of Obama, but that is not going to last. That is a knee-jerk reaction because, oh no, we got a black president now, oh, the fucking sky's falling, you know. That's not going to last. And what's going to happen, you've probably recruited some guys that would be some great, outstanding white guerrillas, but they are going to be frustrated and disillusioned with white separatism because of the time they spent in an organization. It almost happened to me. I mean, things went south at the National Alliance, and I saw that it was really just a podunk. I mean, there were a couple of shining examples of guys I'd met in the Chicago unit. There's like a handful of guys. But a lot of guys I saw, I really wasn't that impressed with. They were out of shape. Hygiene, there were a couple of guys I met that needed to work on their personal hygiene. A number of them drink way too much fucking alcohol. But there was a handful of them I met that they were sharp guys. And when I found out that this place wasn't going nowhere, and it's like, it just went south. I mean, we couldn't get people together. The last meeting I went to with the National Alliance, there was maybe three or four people there from Illinois. The majority of the people came from Iowa and Wisconsin. How pathetic is that? We're supposed to be the Chicago Proto Unit. But it was just, I was just really disillusioned. And all of a sudden in January, either it was 04 or 05. Maybe it was 04. I get a knock at the door from the Federal Bureau of Investigation in January. 04, 05, I don't remember. And I used the 5 words, but I was pissed off that they came to my door. I was pissed off that, you know, that they wanted to check me out or that they even had me under their thumb. Most people would backpedal. It had the opposite effect on me. It made me more hardcore and committed. I outlined something here in a book called The Terrorist, The Weapons, Leaders, and Tactics by Christopher Dobson. It says, in every case, the terrorists accepted the dictum of Carlos Marighella, that's the Brazilian guy, you know, the Urban Guerrilla Handbook. If you guys ever come across that, get it. It's somewhat decent reading. Dictum of Carlos, that the duty of a revolutionary is to make the revolution. They were no doubt flattered by his outline and the personal qualities of an urban guerrilla. Okay, he's talking about Carlos went so far as to hold hostage the entire ministerial strength of OPEC. Oh, okay, he's talking about the thing that happened in Vienna. But I guess I outlined the one line. In every case, the terrorists accepted the dictum of Carlos that the duty of the revolutionary is to make the revolution. Do you guys at the radio club out there, do you see yourselves as revolutionaries? Be honest. If you choose words that describe you, is revolutionary one of them? If you can honestly say no, we need to do some soul searching. Do some soul searching to find out what exactly you're in this for. It'd be a good idea to do that. If you don't evolve, you die. You know, irregardless of what the dinosaurs faced with the asteroid that hit the Yucatan and possibly dinosaurs migrating into other areas that their natural defense systems in their body couldn't handle the bacteria and the organisms of that area. Irregardless, they didn't evolve. Okay? You know, when a man was walking on the savannah, if you subscribe to the Out of Africa theory, when a man was walking on the savannah 2 million years ago and he saw a bush rustle or move to his left or right, he didn't go over there to investigate it. He hauled ass out of there, climbed a tree. We're descendants of the guys that ran. The guys that went and investigate what that was and thought he heard a growl maybe or a grunt. They got eaten. Their descendants didn't live on. If you don't evolve, you die. And we have not evolved in the white separatist struggle in the United States and Western Europe. I would say Eastern Europe, they're trying different things, I think. But they got organizations over there. But I guess the... You know, different strokes for different folks. An organization may work in Russia. It may be given acquiescence by the government. I don't know. But it definitely will not work in North America. It cannot work. You know, I'm not telling anyone out there to go out and do what I'm about to say, and I'm not going to do it, and I'm not telling Tom Metzger or Lone Wolf Computer Man to do it or Lone Wolf Wall Street. I would love to hear about some Americans going north of the Canadian border and just doing things to stir up the white population. They say Toronto is the most multicultural city in the world. Anything and every type of shitskin you could think of is in Toronto. Obviously, Toronto don't know about 14 words. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. You know what, Canadian brothers? If you're out there, if there are even any Canadian brothers out there, you're looking at your home country being a non-white majority by 2017. A lot of demographic websites are stating that. You know? Skjaldborg. That's your word for today. Run with it. Build a terrorist cell called Skjaldborg if you want to. Shield wall. Defend the race by a ruthless offensive. No more the tactics of the old. No more passing out flyers. If you want to do any kind of propaganda, do it with spray paint. Do it with a magic marker. Maybe lie about who you are. Maybe you can spray a message at the scene of whatever you do. This is from the Canadian Bader Meinhof gang. This is the Canadian Red Army faction. Whatever. I personally don't care at this point. We need to be sowing seeds of dissent, chaos, and everything else in order for our race to survive. I keep telling you guys about this window of opportunity. It's not going to stay open forever. You need to starve the sheep inside you and feed the wolf. Become a wolf in human shape. We need you. The race needs you. It's got to happen. You got to make it happen. You got to look in the mirror and say, it's incumbent upon me to do the deed. Don't wait for anyone else to do it. Become a wolf in human shape. That's the righteous thing to do. Remember, morality is all relative. Whatever leads to the destruction of the white race is evil. 14.
Dear TT, it's amazing how we all must adapt to the existing Jew economic war. Spoiled Americans are getting scared by the economics. I've got a friend that thought he was safe from unemployment at the railroad. Suddenly, my latest subconscious premonition came true. Railroad will now lay off 4,000 people. Grim reality is hitting GM and Chrysler now. I expect now and this summer, crashing commercial real estate, $650,000 plus newly unemployed every month. Tax revenues have got to be going through the floor right now. So I expect government to save itself will cut dramatically at Jew socialism, shocking many beneficiaries. This deflation collapse in the Jew usury is creating a copy of the Russian communism failure of 1996, except America, because of its massive Jew usury debts, will soon fall into the black hole in space. Khrushchev said, "We will bury you," and he was right. Japan was recently shocked to see itself falling again, further, quicker, after 10 years of the lost decade depression. Unthinkable. Recently, we saw a mini panic in ammunition sales. Suddenly, due to demand, the cheaper military surplus bulk ammo was in very tight supply. The Hunting Shack Reloader outfit have a 4-month backlog on orders. Suddenly, my friends that delayed ammunition purchases for their guns got caught in a panic and sold them some of my excess. Also, it looked like the Russian ammunition, 7.62x39 caliber for the AK-47s, was being diverted to supply Iran for the coming conflict with Israel. Damn, this illegal President Nigger Obama is a great liar for the Illuminati. He started the guns and ammo packet panic because of his communist Marxist views. The big 50 caliber ammunition shot up 500%. It is now coming back down a little. As for your Sydney in 1787, I'm tempted now to drop out of civilization and become a surfboard bum, an organic farmer bum, living in just such a minimal natural situation, somewhere where the people population is low, wherever the hell that is. I think civilization could soon turn very ugly, like Europe and Russia in the 30s and 40s. Now, I guess the grim natural law of might makes right tells us to keep fighting the battle. I look at little children today and think of the terrible mess we moderns have left them. Maybe Planet X will soon clean it up if it isn't another July. The entire modern world is a gigantic July and has been for at least 2,000 years, including even God and the monthly, yearly calendar itself. Palestinians interviewed wanted to return to their pastoral life as shepherds in a simple life, tent living. Israeli Canaanite Khazar Jews interviewed wanted more gitzy high-rise hotels and city development. Incidentally, Mormons in Utah have paved over suburban sprawl east side of Salt Lake, the only good farmland they had, ripped out of the orchards in the only place in Utah where fruit trees will grow. Incredibly, meanwhile, Monsanto wants to create famine at will to dramatically reduce populations. Bilderberger's Global 2000 plan, no doubt. We live in interesting times, signed your friend. Well, you're right. You are right, boy. That's about it for today. Free men are not equal. Equal men are not free. Most people are always wrong when it's most important to be right. And if you don't listen, you'll have to feel it. Don't leave home without your five words and your little tape recorder in your pocket. At the approach of any state security official, from local police all the way up to the boys of the FBI and all those guys, turn on that recorder. Record the conversation. Just let it run. Yeah. 14:05. This is April the 24th. Friday. I don't think I said that before. We'll be back tomorrow, Saturn's Day. Have a nice Friday night and take the princess, the lady, take your wife out and get her out of the kitchen. Do it for me. Yeah. I'm out of here.